welcome everybody on the call and everybody that listens to the call later and all the angels and guides. I was just reflecting, and that is the word, reflecting that all of a sudden I kind of looked up with my third eye, and it was as if I was seeing, looking in the mirror, but the image that was coming to me was Yogi Bhajan was looking at us saying, I'm here. And I felt this wash of golden glow, golden energy washing over us, over the group, and everybody else was feeling that also. So breathe into the golden glow, the harvest moon. He's letting us know it is the time of harvest where we can reap the benefits and pull into 3D, into our first three chakras, into manifest all that we've been working for. So I'm feeling a really beautiful affirmation. And wow, my eyes are actually watering as I'm feeling so much emotion, so much fullness. I was just walking or taking a little walk. I like to kind of review the astrology and feel the frequencies before the call, and then take a little walk around my neighborhood before the call. And I was enjoying all the Halloween decorations. And one of the decorations said, my night to howl. And I just put a little thing on Facebook. I think I'll start practicing tonight. So it is a time to really open up the voice, the heart, the mind, and really to move into the expansion and the power of the mind. And we were talking about the image of the net. We were saying the fisher women, the Shakti Activation Group are like the fisher women. And we're casting the net of the mind around the whole world, and we're claiming and embracing and pulling in the net of abundance, the analogy of the loaves and the fishes, so the whole world can be fed with divine abundance, and people's thirst can be quenched, and they can get their needs met. And we talked about Guru Ram Dass starting the Lunger Hall in connection with the Golden Temple, and that the Maharajas and the Rishis, the important people, the VIPs of that time, they had to sit in the Lunger Hall and eat, be fed with everybody that came in, all the peasants, basically, everybody, before he would see them, before he would give them an audience. And that really blew some of their minds. They're like, what? I'm the great Maharaj, and I have to sit and eat with these lowly beings. It's like, yes. So that really blew the minds of the caste system. It was interesting. So we'll breathe to that. So we'll cast our net so everyone in the whole world can receive the abundance of their hearts, abundance of the Nam, the divine presence, and move into the ascension frequencies, the 10 stargates that we're moving through, the 10 dimensions that we're working with on these calls, and that we're moving into our mastery, our divine mastery, to be able to move easily into these higher dimensions. And it was fun sharing. Tej Preet was sharing the feeling of moving, walking, and feeling these different parts of herself, almost as if like there's the 3D person walking, and then there's this her higher self or her other dimensions are also moving too. So she kind of experienced it as different aspects. So that's what we're moving into. We're moving into the activation phase of the 10 stargates. And astrologically speaking, we are into the Mercury retrograde, the RE, the rear, the bringing up the rear. Yeah, I almost said rear. I wasn't thinking about saying that, but that's what came up. The RE, the re period, the review, the recalculate, the recalibrate, the reset period. So we have, I'm just like looking at this for a minute. We have Mercury retrograde, I think, until November 10th. And we are moving into Scorpio. So we have the Scorpio energy moving on right now, moving into us. So let's go ahead and take a deep breath, because Scorpio is the depth, like the depth of the ocean. The depth of the ocean, which as correlated, I was looking at what this, what some of these dates were, correlated with the divine feminine, we can feel into our own depths. We've been talking about the balance, the Libra, the divine feminine, and the divine masculine, and all these different themes, the air theme of Libra, moving into that which just flows around. And well, now that we're moving into this retrograde and into the Scorpio, it's about consolidating and moving into what we've been working with, moving into more of a focus. The Scorpio is about intensity and intense focus. So if you have any Scorpio in your chart, or you know any Scorpios, or you're feeling the energy on the planet right now, things are amping up in intensity. And that's why it's really important, and why we started out with a beautiful intention. Thank you, Arete. A beautiful intention about how to use the mind, focusing the mind. So with this retrograde, we can go deep into a reflection process of how we use our minds, the power of the mind. And Yogi Bhajan gave us a lot of information about the mind. We have a whole book that he wrote called The Mind Book. Just briefly to review some of the aspects of the mind. So as we know, we have the soul, which is the number of the day you were born, and then the next three bodies that we have to work with. When we focus the power of our soul frequency through our minds, we can actually use our minds to reshape the world around us. And then that begins reshaping the consciousness of the whole world. So the three aspects of the mind, 2, 3, and 4, the second, third, and fourth bodies, the negative mind protects and contracts. So that's about the boundaries. What are our boundaries? And it could be boundaries, putting boundaries around what we're thinking. So rather than letting the mind run amok with endless thoughts repeating over and over, the monkey mind, we can put boundaries around our mind. And the positive mind projects possibility and expands. So once we kind of have corralled in the thoughts that we're allowing to run through our minds rather than running amok, which I kind of think that's a good word, because when you think about like the shore, and it can be mucky around the edges of a pond or something. So if we can rein in the mind, the positive mind can project possibility and expand. So we have to pay attention to what thoughts we're actually expanding. And then we move into the neutral mind, which reflects and assesses the potential. And then from that space of neutrality, the meditative mind, the neutral mind is the guidance system. The neutral mind guides us on the course that we want to take, the course into our infinity, our higher selves. Again, the activation, the balance of the divine feminine and the divine masculine, are the balance of the right and left brain. So that's the power of the neutral mind. So it takes about 3 seconds to go from the assessment of the negative mind to the positive mind to the neutral mind. So it's about a 9-second sequence process. So as you are working with your intentions, which now we're in Mercury retrograde, and today we have the double twos, which is double 11s. So this is a day of mastery. So it's a great day to set intentions and move into claiming your mastery, which you can claim with your thoughts. And notice that you can be mastering your thoughts, especially on this day. And you can process information in a way that creates when you finish your 9-second sequence, creates a connection with the infinite. So now we're flowing into the expansion frequency, into connection with the infinite, with each thought, with each intention. And the yogis call that connection Sahaj. That's when we're flowing with the divine. We're flowing with cosmic consciousness. So life becomes a flow. So we're weaving our intentions, our intuition, our third eye frequency with in harmony with the flow of the divine. And that's where we can really relax and feel our heart open up and get messages about what the right course of action for us is. It's also often called the right use of will. When we start to have that experience of flowing with the divine, so sometimes it's called surrender, but, you know, we talked about before, surrender can be one of those kind of double-edged sword words, that surrender can kind of have the connotation of, oh, you lost the war or something, you lost in battle, but it's also used in a spiritual context. But we can substitute the word flow. So once we can experience that expansion into the infinite, now we can flow with the divine and move in that experience that the yogis call Sahaj. So we start out with our experience of kind of like 3D, and it could be the experience of feeling that we're bumping into our karma, and then we move up until we can experience that of flow with the divine. So if you take the sign of the infinite, now you're flowing with the divine back and forth. So it's a weaving, and it's a spiral energy. So you can move the mind and your thoughts in that flow, and you can notice what it is. I had an interesting experience as an example of this on Sunday. I had a few different possibilities and thoughts about what, you know, I could do. And then I started feeling a lot of anxiety, and I wasn't sure what that anxiety meant. And I was feeling kind of pulled in different directions. So I took a little bike ride along the Ocean Boulevard, right in front of the beach. And I just was just breathing and just sort of wondering what I was being guided to do, so to speak. And then I had a feeling, I thought, well, I'm going to return a couple phone calls before I make a decision and respond to a few people that had wanted to meet with me. And so I did, and I realized that when I made one of the calls, there was a friend that really needed some help. So it was really great that I kind of took my time, and it was a really important call, and it had to do with some projects I'm working on and things. So that was really important to me, but it wasn't something that I had in my conscious mind that I needed to do. But I started feeling calmer after I listened to the little voice that said, well, handle a couple calls first, and then you can make some decisions. And I started feeling more relaxed, and then I also saw some information about Kirtan that was being played, and I had the feeling that I wanted to be around some chanting, and so I thought to go to that Kirtan performance. So that's what I ended up doing out of, you know, different possibilities. And also, it was really great that I went to that Kirtan. I met a friend there who had wanted to see me for a while that needed some support. But it was really great when we walked into this Kirtan at my friend's little healing center. The two musicians were sitting there, and the two people that run the center were sitting there, and nobody else was there. So it was really great that we went to this performance, and it actually being really wonderful. It was very intimate, and I got up and moved a little, and I was really receiving the chanting and connecting with the musicians. So I felt that those were two things that I hadn't really thought of in my mind as being that important. But that's what I felt that the flow of spirit was leading me to work with, and what my greatest service or seva or kind of divine path was, where it was really more a path of service that day rather than thinking about what I wanted to do, what my ego mind wanted to do. So that's an example of when we can move into that connection with the infinite and being flowing with, maybe there'll be a path of service or seva that the infinite might like us to align with rather than, you know, what maybe our limited thinking might want us to do. So that's just kind of a little simple example, but of working with the mind. And that's what we're working with at this time, moving into that flow of Sahaj. So we're really coming from that unification with spirit, which is the place of surrendering. I'm going to use that word again. The ego mind, our limited thinking, to that which expands us, that which allows us to feel more connected. And that is the more and more we move onto a spiritual path. It's said that the first step on the spiritual path is seva or divine service. So we're really asking the divine, how do you want me to serve at this time? And knowing that when we're connected with our mind, with the infinite mind, that we receive the experience of the expansion of spirit, which is really the great reward. So karma yoga doesn't have to be something boring and tedious, but it can be that there, it becomes the inner reward, because then spirit starts blessing us. And what Yogi Bhajan tells us now, and he's smiling, yes, thank you for remembering my teachings, tells us is that where we bow, we will be blessed. And of course, we also hear, you know, in giving, the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, it's in giving that you receive. So as we open up our hearts with that flow, then we receive the gifts of the infinite. And we don't even know how the infinite's going to reward us or show us different possibilities. But then the world starts becoming more magical. So it takes us out of the fear of the unknown into the expansion of living in the field of ether that responds to us and almost meets our needs in ways that I've experienced ways that I wouldn't thought of. And so the world becomes more magical rather than scary or mysterious. So we're moving into allowing the magic of the field, the unified field, the etheric field, to basically serve us. So as we serve the infinite, then the field serves us. And I love one of the things that Yogi Bhajan used to tell us, that creation has to serve you. So what you create, you have to serve. We talked about before the example of when you have children. the mother feels like you want to do things for that child so they're okay. And he's saying it's the same way for creation, that we're created by creation, and creation has to serve us. It's a law. It's a cosmic law. And, I'm going to say and rather than but, I felt like saying but, and we need to allow creation to serve us. So if our negative mind, so to speak, gets in the way or blocks us, then creation is not serving us. So I loved our intention about casting our net for the abundance to pull in the loaves of fishes and allowing the universe to serve us, making room to receive. Good, beautiful. So that's a little bit about talking about the astrology, because we have, you know, with the Mercury retrograde and the Scorpio, we also have a Saturn energy going on and thrown into all of this, Saturn and Scorpio. So the intensity of Scorpio that we're feeling, we talked about the Chiron Neptune, which is the healing of the dream and bringing the dream into 3D. So the power that we're feeling right now and the desire is to really pull the net of our dreams into 3D. This is a time to manifest, a time to really just tighten up our dreams and see exactly how we want things to show up on the planet in 3D, where the Libra, the Neptune, was a little bit more dreamy, a little bit more airy. It was more the dream time. It was more the shamanic dream time. Float around and, you know, see what's available and feel the dream of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. Feel the dream of that. But now we're casting the net and we're pulling it in with this Saturn Scorpio. It's like, no, we want to feel it. We want to see it now. We want to experience it in 3D. We want to harvest now. This is harvest time. We want to pick those pumpkins and carve the faces on the pumpkins right now and put a candle inside the pumpkin and see that smiley face or see that ghoulish face. We want to see the light coming through the harvest. So I love the image of the carving the jack-o'-lanterns, and I love making pumpkin pie and the harvest and just really enjoying what we've, the energies, the thoughts, the dreams that we put out. So this Mercury retrograde is a 6-week period of time. So this is the time. This is really the harvest time. This is the nitty-gritty time. This is carving the pumpkin, pulling out those pumpkin seeds and roasting them. You know how it feels when you put your hand in the pumpkin and pull them out, and it's kind of like wet and slimy, but then you get to have the pumpkin seeds and roast them and put salt on them, and they're really good. So the bringing that dream of Neptune from Pisces down into focus, down into reality, down into our lives, down into our toes, wiggling the toes, feeling what our toes feel like. So this time of Scorpio is a time to unplug from any 3D programs that limit this. So you might, if you notice people around you, your own thoughts, it's like pop, 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 popping those 3D programs, limiting 3D programs out, and the old conditioning, and going into the depths of how you want to recreate the world. The world, the Aquarian world, Aquarian consciousness around you and around us at this time. Moving into the unknown and feeling excited by it and reframing the program that the unknown is scary or dangerous into the unknown can be magical, and the magic can bring to you what it is that you love. Wow, I was talking a lot about that. I wanted to talk for a moment before we start chanting and about Mariha Gimbutas. She was an archaeologist who, why I wanted to bring her up is because how she saw the archaeological digs as, the way she saw the symbols of archaeologists and reframed what was being excavated from the focal point of the feminine, the worship of nature, the worship of life. And she was very radical for her time. She worked in the 40s and 50s, and she worked, she was an archaeologist at UCLA in the 70s and 80s. So during her career, she was able to look at archaeology from Indo-European archaeology from a world that was peace-loving, cooperation-based, goddess-worshipping societies in ancient Europe, until those societies were overrun in what's called in archaeology the Neolithic era. And that was the time that the world was changed by the imposition of the patriarchy. So she unearthed a time and showed a vision through how she saw the world and how she saw these artifacts that were being unearthed as an earth-friendly, feminine-centered spirituality that sparked a religious or spiritual awakening. And he showed how that this way of living on the earth was very peaceful. There was a whole period of time in what we call like prehistory that people worshiped the goddess. And one thing that she noticed was one thing they study in archaeology is the burial sites, that people weren't buried with weapons, and there was no evidence of weapons. And she was considered to be, she died in 1994, and she was considered to be one of the most influential and controversial. She was very, very controversial. The patriarchy, the men at the time, she began working in Harvard and then she moved to L.A. They gave her a really hard time. She was very controversial, a very controversial figure. And so most archaeologists at the time just recorded and described the data based on their perceptions, their mindsets. And she really looked at these archaeological excavations for a meaning, a new way to interpret the meaning, rather than just recording what it was and using just, you know, the mindset of the time. So she asked fundamental questions. Is war inevitable? Have men always dominated women? What are the true roots of Western culture? And she said, I do not believe, as many archaeologists of this generation seem to, that we shall never know the meaning of prehistoric art and religion. So she followed, you know, she really blazed the trail to move into reframing and showing that it is possible to live peacefully on the earth, worshiping life, living in tune with nature, living in tune with the mother. So I really love using her as an example of how to use our minds to see the world in a way that can reshape the whole reality on the planet. So her findings revealed an ancient, widespread culture. It flourished throughout Europe between, and here's the dates, 6500 and 3500 BC. And it was a time that the historians, that's called the Neolithic time period. And this civilization was really different from all the images that we see, you know, of kings and warriors and conquering gods that dominated. So this, her period of time that she was studying, that the symbols of, I know you're familiar with the symbols of the clay symbols of the ancient goddess figurines and things like that. So she says this was a long-lasting period of remarkable creativity and stability, an age free of strife. Wow. Their culture was a culture of art. So that's what I'm feeling we are moving back into in the Aquarian Age. We're moving from being bound by linear time into the freedom of the culture of art, where we can see the world through art rather than a linear timeline. So art is infinite, expansive. The ability to see the world around us in a new way, that's why we like artists and painting so much. So her interpretations show that a society stretched across Europe all the way from the Danube to the North Sea, and women, this is important, women had high status and power along with men, and it was egalitarian, it wasn't matriarchal, and peaceful, and that this old Europe existed for thousands of years without war. Hundreds of female figurines were found, paintings, sculptures, of birth-giving goddesses, pottery, figures of bird, headed deities, and sacred serpents, ooh, the kundalini, all honor the regenerative powers of nature. And this is what she says again, the last quote I'm going to read, and then we're going to chant. The goddess in all her manifestations was a symbol of the unity of all life in nature. Her power was in water and stone, in tomb and cave, in animals and birds, snakes and fish, hill, trees, and flowers. So I just love, I love her awareness. I love her willingness to challenge the status quo. So this time of Mercury retrograde, going inside, looking deep within, and the intensity of Scorpio combined with Saturn and all the things that we've been talking about are really a time to reframe, recreate, and redraw, re-see the world we want to live in. So it's a beautiful time. So let's see. Okay, just breathe into that. Deep breathe, deep breathe. Go ahead and move into chanting a new world. Chanting a new world. So set your intention, get your image in your mind, whether it's a beautiful goddess image or what your intention is, something arty. Open up your heart, up your chakras, all the way from the earth to the heavens. Here we go. Yeah. create your dreams, your intentions, your feelings in your body. Exhale, let it go, let it go. Beautiful. So the homework for this week is to write down your intentions and breathe into them. Use the net of your mind to cast your beautiful dreams over the whole world and pull them into your body. You chant Rama Dasa. Beautiful. Thank you, everybody. Would anybody like to share before we complete? Feelings, thoughts, experiences? Hello?
Hello. Well, you were talking about the howling.
Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
So you were talking about the howling, and, you know, it's something I used to do a lot. I used to love to do it.
I love it.
I would go out for walks in the evening. I lived up in the mountains. It was fairly remote, and I would walk with a friend of mine till at sunset. And we would walk down the road, you'd hear coyotes howling off the distance, and I'd start howling back at them. And pretty soon they were, like, in the woods running right along with us. It was really funny.
Oh, my gosh, that is so great. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. That's so beautiful. Yeah. My night to howl. Practice now.
It's
that's
liberating.
Yeah, that's one way to get in tune with nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had anybody else heard about Mariha Gimbutas? Anybody else ever heard of her before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's good. I actually went to the library to get some books about her yesterday, and they didn't have any in our local library, but they said they could get some for me from, they were just at university, so yeah, she's, I think, a pretty important figure, you know, feminine.
Courageous woman.
Yeah, very courageous. She was so put down, I guess would be one word to say it, by the patriarchy, by the men in the field at that time. They didn't like her at all. They put her in, like, a really small office, you know, like in the back of the building, and somehow they changed it so she wasn't getting paid. You know, they just really didn't like her.
Trying to hide her.
They were totally trying to hide her, yeah.
So yeah, we have to keep digging of all these women.
I love really talking about the courageous women and the men that have stood up for women. So, yeah. Beautiful. Well, I'm really enjoying... Well, I enjoyed the call today. Thank you, everybody. And I'm enjoying kind of the intensity of this Scorpio energy and Mercury retrograde and going within. So I'm kind of liking the shift in energies, actually. I feel kind of like, wow, more powerful to me. Like, okay, I can really kind of, you know, sink my teeth into something now.
Yeah, it is very deep.
It feels really deep. So I'm actually... looking forward to this period of time, this next 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Mm-hmm. Good. So thank you, everybody. Great being
thank
with you.
You,
as always. And we'll just keep casting our nets as we did and energizing that, pulling in our loaves and fishes.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Master. Thank you, everybody. I'll be feeling you in our meditation. Satnam. Talk to you next week.
Sending love and light.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Linda. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Satnam.